Choir directors are creative, resourceful, dedicated, and sometimes completely out of ideas. Not to worry, the Choir Ninja Podcast is here with solutions you never saw coming. Get ready for some training, wisdom, and inspiration from the masters. Let Ryan Guth guide your journey to becoming a choir ninja.
Hey there, Choir Nation. This is Ryan Guth with the Choir Ninja Podcast, and I am delighted to have with me today Ann Tomlinson of the LA Children's Chorus. Had the pleasure of hearing them this summer at the Chorus America National Conference, and enjoyed the heck out of the concert. They are masters of bel canto, as is Ann as a pedagogue of bel canto. So I'm really interested in hearing a lot about that today on the podcast. Should let you know that we are sponsored by sightreadingfactory.com, as well as mymusicfolders.com, and I will give you a little bit more information about the two of those companies after the show. So stay tuned for a couple promo codes where you can save money with both Sight Reading Factory and mymusicfolders.com. So, Ann, thank you so much for joining me today on the Choir Ninja Podcast.
Happy to be here, Ryan.
Well, and you know, let's just jump right in. Let's do a quick Reader's Digest bio, just so we can get to know you. Like I gave them a little introduction about the LA Children's Chorus, but I'm sure you could give a slightly better one. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I came to the work sort of as a surprise. I was a pianist and keyboard artist and had studied that at Oberlin Conservatory and Northwestern University, but met the founding director of LACC, Rebecca Thompson, and she asked if I'd serve as a accompanist for the choir. So I started, and so I sat at her feet for many a year. I must, with some embarrassment, mention I've never taken a music education course, but I have learned so much from the children who are members here, and just have had a remarkable, surprising journey with the LA Children's Chorus.
Well, it's so amazing. Sometimes, you know, you see people that have these wonderful career opportunities to direct, you know, choirs like the LA Children's Chorus, and people that make it to these amazing choirs in sort of unconventional paths. And I have to point out that, I mean, this is not uncommon to see somebody take an unconventional route to a really amazing artistic outlet. So, you know, you're one of at least a dozen people that I've had on my show that made it where they made it in a very strange, you know, way, the unconventional way. So maybe Choir Nation, my audience, should think about what they can do to, you know, maybe be the squeaky wheel, stick out a little bit. So,
well, I think, you know, I tell my students that you'll have great opportunities in your life. You've got to be prepared for them. Get all the background you can, and then recognize when that door opens, and then go in and work your tail off.
But I assume you just get better by doing it all the time. I mean, I'm sure it was a lot of observation for you up at the beginning, and you sort of learned on the job. And then when you're thrown into the fire, you just make it happen.
It's true. And, you know, especially with children, the minute they're not engaged 100%, they'll let you know. You'll see it on their faces. You'll see the body slump. So you've got to change it up a lot.
Yeah, there's a very real barometer on children there. So give me a very brief overview of what the LA Children's Chorus program looks like in case people don't know it.
Sure. We have classes for children who are 6 and 7 year olds, and those are based on music and movement. We do beginning skills introduction to them, a little bit of sight reading, and just interval recognition, rhythm patterns, introducing them there. Our core program, though, are comprised of 8 to 18 year olds. We have a preparatory choir, apprentice, intermediate, concert choir, chamber singers, and young men's ensemble. And children are selected for those ensembles based on their choral experience and their vocal readiness.
And so, Ann, this is your full-time job, correct?
It is full-time plus, yeah.
How many do you have on staff?
I need to count this up, but at least three, if not four dozen people, because along with the core rehearsals that the children have every week, they have a 40-minute class in musicianship skills.
Okay.
So they're learning how to read music. We
Great.
Say, hopefully, as easily as they read a book.
And so in order to achieve that, like your annual budget is how much?
I think we're $1.5 million right now.
Okay. Wow. All right. So this is a big organization, well-established organization. So so let's jump in because I know you have limited time. You're about to catch a rehearsal pretty soon. What is Bel Canto, and how do I know that I'm singing it or hearing it or you know, I've heard the term. I'm sure I've done it, you know.
Right. I'm sure you have too. We all have.
I've sung beautifully once or twice in my life, I think. So, but what is it really?
Okay, so we say that we adapt the Bel Canto teaching technique for children. So it is a technique which is based on the breath, so that all of the sound is based on the full inhalation of breath for the voice. There is a balance at the onset of the beginning of the sound that provides clarity, we hope, and beauty to the sound, not a lot of muscular tension in the laryngeal area, but more work a little bit below. And then just the full use of the entire resonators, everything from the chest to the mouth, the nose, and the sinus cavities, just using all of that, shaping the vowels in such a way and placing the vowels in such a way that they sound pure and have this wonderful ring and resonance that we hope everyone enjoys.
So, I mean, if anybody has ever heard the LA Children's Chorus, I just feel like they sound so much different in a delightfully angelic way, you know? So, does that come from very deliberate vowel choices? And would those choices maybe sound a lot different than maybe we would speak those vowels in regular English? Okay.
Yeah, we begin, you know, the children have warm-up exercises where they do something physical to help their alignment and their breath. And then they practice and warm up on vowels every rehearsal. And we work to unify the vowel and to shape the vowel so that it's forward and hopefully sounds pure and true.
How many vowels do you feel like you work with? I mean, do you use an IPA chart with them, and do they understand that kind of stuff? Or
with the older singers, we do. But for the young ones, the 7, 8, 9-year-olds, we use our teachers as a vocal model. And just, you know, moo, mo, ma, many. And we work on those five primary vowels extensively. I mean, from their first day until their last day, they're singing those very same vowels.
So do you base everything around sort of these five Italian vowels?
Well, that's where we start.
Okay.
And then as they learn their repertoire, then they learn how, you know, different vowels are colored in different languages. In our younger choirs, they sing pretty much, you know, we try to keep them either in Latin or Italian, a little bit of certainly English and maybe one or two other languages, but then more languages as they become more experienced in that vowel formation becomes more reliable for them.
Okay, so let's rank maybe the languages from earliest introduction to further down the line. Like if I'm sure you've sung in probably 47 languages at this point, but give me like, you know, 8 to 10 that you feel like are a logical progression.
Okay. I would start with Latin and then go to Italian, probably then add German, okay. Hebrew. And then I think you can expand a little bit. You know, French is kind of a killer, too many vowels, 26 different ones, I guess. But we try, you know, those languages, Japanese is actually a very good one because those are mostly Italianate vowels as well. So just find languages that use those core vowels, and boy, half your work is done as a conductor.
Right.
The time saver.
So I mean, I think, so I noticed you didn't even say English.
Oh, well, you know, it's our mother tongue. And so almost in a way, I tell my kids, you sound like you're singing with your cell phone vowels, you know, because they don't shape anything. They don't move their lips when they're on their cell phone.
Right. They don't have to be conscious about the choices they make because that's what they speak all the time. What about singing in Spanish?
Oh, I forgot to mention Spanish. Yes, of course, that would be one of the earlier languages that we introduce.
Okay, very good. So, this is very interesting because, I mean, you know, audiences, especially when we're talking about schools, right? You know, mom and dad, you know, from Brooklyn, New York, right? They're like, why don't you sing more English at your concerts, right? Like, right? And of course, I'm trying to egg you on here with the English thing because I kind of agree with you that English is just a terrible place to start, right? But
hard places.
You know, how do you balance ticket sales and and language choices, and what kind of things do you have to do for your audience to make sure, I guess, they're informed about the repertoire choice? I mean, you're established at this point. The LA Children's Chorus is going to sound great. People are going to come because it's the LA Children's Chorus. But like, what advice would you give to, you know, a young, you know, middle school, high school choral director when it comes to choosing repertoire?
You know, I'd really encourage them to focus not only on the education of their students, but on the education of their audience. Mm-hmm. I think we have a tremendous responsibility. I find that, you know, a lot of my singers are more sophisticated musically than their parents. And so I think it's a great opportunity and challenge for us to find ways to engage the audience as a part of the learning process. We bring parents into rehearsals pretty frequently and have the kids talk about the piece. Like, what do you like about this piece? What have you learned through this piece? And try to help the parents understand not only the vocal technique you use, but why we make these particular musical choices. And it can be a really important and, I think, fascinating process for any teacher to help their parents understand what they're trying to accomplish.
So this is the thing I like a lot about Chorus America, in that we're dealing with a segment of the choral population that is not academic necessarily, meaning like this is an after-school program, this is a community program, and it's not sort of the obligatory music program that you're involved with at school. So so you have to have a distinctively unique, you know, value proposition to the people that are potentially paying the tuition for their kids to be involved in the LA Children's Chorus. So you have almost a higher degree of accountability to your clientele, so to speak, when it comes to the people that you know, the kids that you work with. I want to point out for our audience that involving the kids, you know, having parents come and watch rehearsal, getting them involved in understanding what it is that they're essentially paying for, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're paying for it or whether the kid's scholarshiped, mom and dad are still paying for it because they're still bringing the kid. They're still coming to the concerts. They're still making sure they have the uniform and, you know, the whole thing. So, you know, the stakeholders really have to understand what it is that you're doing, or else they're like, well, why is it important?
So, well, and I think one of the things that LA Children's Chorus benefits from is in these incredible artistic partnerships we have. Mm-hmm. We have the great good fortune to sing with the LA Philharmonic at Disney Concert Hall, with LA Opera at Dorothy Chandler, with the LA Chamber Orchestra, the LA Master Chorale at the Hollywood Bowl. These things do resonate with our parents as well as with our children. Mm-hmm. And hey, they look terrific on college applications. So, you know, it's a really nice kind of way to encourage families who are super busy and these kids who are multi-talented to participate.
So how do you begin developing partnerships with, let's say, symphony orchestras in your home area?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is, you know, just asking for an opportunity to meet and share your goals and objectives. I have the good fortune, I inherited these relationships from our founding director, Rebecca Thompson. And at the time, LA Children's Chorus was the only children's chorus in the city Plus, LACC started. Our founding director, Rebecca Thompson, received an invitation to perform Britain's War Requiem. I mean, that's not the place most people start for their first piece to teach a brand new choir.
Nope.
But you know, with that success, they had such a good experience that I think, you know, the children decided to stay together, and that being prepared for adult professional performances is kind of part of the DNA of this organization.
Well, so I love that you said ask, number one, right? Because, yeah. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is they say no, right?
Yeah,
and almost every major metropolitan city has some type of symphony orchestra. And then I guess when you go to parents and you say, hey, I want your kid involved in this thing, and there's this level of prestige attached to it, it's much easier than for them to say yes.
So, invite them to your concerts, show them, you know, have them, some of the students talk to them as well as what it means. And, so, you know, show that ticket sales go up pretty substantially when children's choirs are involved at symphony concerts. Mm-hmm. So it's a positive for them. Their reputation expands dramatically among your community, and you can offer more that way too. So there are a lot of cross benefits, I would say.
That's right. You know what? You know, when mom and dad find out that you know, Boobie's singing at the opera, then grandma and grandpa come along too, and
every performance,
right? So yeah, I mean, it's, these kids are a gold mine, is what they really are. So no, it's funny. An example that I have was when Kenny Rogers was in town in New Jersey. When I was I used to teach in New Jersey. I live in Albuquerque now, but when I taught New Jersey, Kenny Rogers came through. And the theater reached out and said, hey, does your children's choir want to sing backup for Kenny Rogers? And I was like, heck yeah. And you know what? Did anybody miss that concert? No. Did all the parents and grandparents come? Absolutely. And then so we switched. This was a community choir. So we switched the focus of doing other people's gigs only that had some level of prestige attached. Then we eliminated all of our attendance issues. We always had people showing up to concerts. We always had people that wanted to be in the choir because of the level of prestige attached to each thing. You know, then it ended up being, you know, that, and then the chieftains came to town and we worked with the chieftains.
Perfect.
And right. So like
but
you can do this with school choirs too. Like that's the cool thing is you can create those network relationships with school choirs as well. So, all right, let's get into the nitty gritty because we moved over to business, which is where my brain is a lot of the time. But let's move over to some basic things that you can institute in your rehearsals to foster great technique. I mean, I'm not talking about maybe specific things, but maybe more like core principles of good bel canto singing. And things, maybe some pitfalls to avoid when rehearsing a children's chorus.
Sure. So I began as the apprentice choir director here. So and at that time we were audition, but non-select. So anybody who walked in the door was pretty much in.
Okay.
And I'm grateful for that. So I would just say the same, you know, find some vocal warm-ups and exercises that help the children develop the connection of the voice and the breath, that work on the vowels, that have their range expanded just a little bit, and keep those through the whole year. If you can really focus on basic exercises, maybe change one every week just to keep their interest. But if you can find a core of exercises that really build that technique, and then I'd say my second thing is pick repertoire that supports the technique of the choir. You know, if we warm up and get singing high beautifully, but then I only pick pieces that never go above the C, above middle C, well, you know, I'm not in that sweet spot for children's voices. Mm-hmm. I think for younger voices, finding something like E major, F, F sharp major, wonderful, and then expand that range in the repertoire. Not too many languages. Find a balance of pieces that have, you know, a really sweet melody, something that has a rhythmic challenge, something that challenges them a little bit harmonically. Fine unison singing, I think, is the hardest to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So, you know, focus on unison singing in the earliest days, maybe a little bit of two-part, but, and then I don't know. We're in a fortunate situation for our younger singers. They don't perform all that much outside the community. Maybe a couple community engagement concerts for their parents and two self-produced. But then if we don't put that pressure on them to perform, but just to really give them time to learn. And then when they're a little bit older, yeah, then they're doing a lot of concertizing and performing.
So you said earlier, I mean, you said a couple really bright keys, E major, F sharp major, right? Like, these are not keys that you find a lot of children's music written in.
Unfortunately, transpose it. Just write it up. I do it all the time.
Just transpose. Oh, wow. Okay.
Some of the composers, they just like live in C major because it's easy for them to play.
Or like E flat or B flat all the damn time.
I think sharp keys are much better for young voices. G major, E major, just get them in the sharp keys. And then once they're comfortable there, you know, you can move them to different flat keys. But there's something in the, you know, those sharp keys that just bring out the brilliance of children's voices.
Hmm. Are there any publishers that you would name that you know that you would go right to and say, these guys are doing good things for children's voices? And I'll send them a bill later on.
I just think you have to search everywhere. I wish there were a publisher. When I started, you know, I used to look pretty much at Oxford University Press, but you've got to be careful there now, too. Alliance does some really nice things. But I just search high and low everywhere I possibly can to find really, really good repertoire. And
Do you do a lot of like CPDL stuff?
We do. We do a lot of masterworks. I mean, go to Bach, go to Handel. There's some beautiful things in D major that are just like within an octave. Look at Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring. It's just one octave, mm-hmm. G major, perfect for the young voice, either in English or German. A lot of families might not know a lot about Bach, but maybe they've heard that piece once or twice. So it's a great, great beginning piece.
Right. So you get that almost, that satisfies the parents kind of a popera mentality, you know. Oh, I think I heard Josh Groban sing that. It must be great, right?
Yeah. Well, there are worse models than Josh Groban.
Exactly,
sure.
Right, exactly. You know, yeah. Or Charlotte Church or one of those old-time kiddie singers, yeah. Right? Yeah. So, okay. So we're talking choosing some bright keys. Yeah. Don't be afraid to sing in unison, right? More parts does not mean more impressive, you know.
Yeah, that's what a lot of conductors think. But yeah,
is there if there was a billboard, if you could hang a billboard outside of every young choir director's classroom, what would it say?
It would say, "Teaching you how to sing for a lifetime," because I think if children sing too heavily, too much musculature, they can ruin their voice. Mm-hmm. But what I always tell my parents that we're building a platform, a technique which serves as a platform that once they're older, they can go anywhere from opera to country music to music theater, but give us this chance to build a basic technique. Mm-hmm. You know, kids don't run marathons for a reason. Their bodies aren't ready for it. Same thing with singers. They're just not ready for a lot of this low tessitura, heavy pop belt vocal technique. It will hurt them. And so that's my mantra and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. And it's a great value proposition for parents to hear is that, you know what, we are shaping a singer. It's the long game, right? We're shaping a singer Absolutely. That will eventually be able to do anything you want them to do, but we're training for that marathon. We're not going to just throw them right in. And I think that's a great way to phrase it to parents that are like, why don't you sing, you know, why don't you sing more musical theater or sing more, you know, you always get that one kid who comes in, you know, she's like, she talks like this and she's in sixth grade and she's like, I'm 12 years old and I've had voice lessons for 14 years, right? You know, you're like, how the heck have you had voice lessons for 14 years? You know, and they pay this really expensive voice teacher and to just destroy their voice and like heavy muscle, you know, muscly singing. And, you know, I mean, do you get that? I mean, do you ever get people that audition for LA Children's Chorus that you're like, oh my gosh, I want you to see your ENT?
We do. Fortunately, I think we get a lot of our audition candidates through word of mouth. So I think a lot of parents have an understanding. But earlier in our existence, We still get kids who audition who want to be the solo singer. Mm-hmm. And so we try to tell people, give us some time to develop them individually. It's a tricky situation. The voice is such a personal thing, but if you can give us time to allow the child to develop naturally, then later is better. We say that, children can learn the basics of singing best in a choir, mm-hmm. because it's something they enjoy. They don't have to practice individually that much. Mm-hmm. They're with friends. They make good colleagues. We have lots of fun. We take them on retreats and to the ocean. And, they can learn these things together. And that seems to be a lot of fun for them. And it's a multi-gender, non-competitive environment. We're kids have that in their life, not too often either. And give us, 3-4 years, and then head out to vocal lessons.
Sure. What are your rehearsal rules look like? What are guidelines? I mean, how do you prevent the diva kid, from taking over the choir, spoiling the bunch? What are some of your just ground rules?
I stole this from Jean Bartle, who did the Toronto Children's Chorus so beautifully for so many years. And if there was a child that was singing out a little bit too strongly and needing to be the star, she would always say, I hear one person taking a little more responsibility than they need to. And I always tell the children, and we all have those kids that sing just like a tiny bit sharp so they can hear themselves, or just a tiny bit louder. And I show them that, we're all together in this. Come to the center of the sound. Okay. And then I do like a little exercise. Okay. Just every other person sing louder than their neighbor. And listen to the sound. And I said, okay, and now let's all try to match the volume of our neighbor. And then let's talk about that sound. So I really like to engage them in the analytical process, sure. and listening acutely and realizing every one of their voices is important and every one of them needs to listen and value the other voice as important as their own.
That's great. That's a very diplomatic way of saying it, too. Somebody's taking
Thank
a
you.
Little bit... too much responsibility.
Stability, isn't that?
That's great. No, that's
great.
Great
way to do it.
I could never come up with that on that kind of stuff on my own. So you know what? I understand. If you stole that from somebody, I get it. That's all good.
Whatever works. Hey.
So I know we're coming up on time. So I wanna ask, what are some resources that you could point us in the direction of when it comes to maybe reading about bel canto, or maybe some even just reference recordings that maybe LA Children's Chorus has that you might want to promote on the show.
Yeah,
so we can get a good model,
I just think Jim Linton, Fernando Malvar-Ruiz, Jean Bartle at Toronto, these are beautiful recordings. They're still on YouTube. American Boy Choir, just beautiful, beautiful work with young voices. In terms of reading, there are a couple new volumes out by GIA where there are interviews of almost every young voice choir instructor from, New York City to Washington, D.C. to here in L.A. and up in Seattle. I'm trying to remember the name of them, and I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Tip my tongue.
No, what we'll do is we'll research that, and we'll put that in the show notes for this episode.
Okay.
Choir Nation, the episode show notes are at choir.ninja/139. If you want to go and check it out. We'll have all the links that we referenced in.
Thank you. Sorry.
In this, but so yeah, Anne. What do you like to do outside of the LA Children's Chorus? I want to move to a little lighter fare here. What do you like to do? What's something that you enjoy doing besides working with kids?
I love to cook. I love reading. My husband and I just bought electric assist bicycles, and we're really enjoying going all over the city of Pasadena, bicycling away, which is really a lot of
fun
for us.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, what are you reading right now? What is the book you're reading right now? Remember?
What am I reading? I'm reading this kind of unusual book called Dinner with Edward. So it combines, it's about a woman who's going through a lot of changes in her life, and she meets, helps a friend of hers with her father, who's just lost his wife, and he cooks these marvelous meals for her, and it's sort of a lovely way of showing how things can come together and be scrumptious and delicious, and how life can come together and be beautiful.
Wonderful. Great. Well, that was a great synopsis. I really enjoyed it. And it combines your love of reading and cooking. That's great.
There you go.
Now, would you agree that the difference between a 3-star and a 4-star restaurant is more salt and more butter?
I might get you on the butter. I'm not much of a salt person.
Okay.
But definitely the butter. Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin, so, you know, more butter, more cheese.
You're from Wisconsin. Where about?
I grew up in Door County. It's about an hour north of Green Bay.
Okay. We've had a couple Wisconsinites on this show.
We are great.
So, yeah. And, you know, my father-in-law is from Wisconsin, you know, so I have to, you know, I got to give props. You're a cheesehead, huh?
Well, I don't tell a lot of people that, but yeah.
Well, great. Hey, listen, you know, we got a big audience. That's going to listen to this, and I want to make sure that they're directed in the right place. Where can they find out more information about the LA Children's Chorus?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's just info at lachildrens.org. Have a new website that we hope might be helpful. And you know, I'm always here. I'm just Anne at LA Children's Chorus, and happy to share anything I can and be of any help at any point. So,
great. Well, Anne, are you on Facebook?
Not yet.
No. Okay, we'll get you there.
I will be. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have to send one of your admins into Facebook, because we have a wonderful Facebook group called Choir Nation. We have over 2,400 people. And they're all really awesome, and they're not diva-ish and weird. There are some Facebook groups out there that are just crazy, and they're just nuts. But Choir Nation is the most positive, awesome, non-snarky group ever.
And, of course, we're all choral people.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you on that.
No, I said, of course we're all wonderful. We're cool.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
what
I was saying. Sorry.
The snarky part. Sometimes people can get a little snarky pants. But Choir Nation is at facebook.com/groups/Choir Nation. So, or they can just search it up on the search bar. Do you use Sight Reading Factory with the LA Children's Chorus? Have you ever heard of it?
I have heard of it, and we'll look into it. At the moment, we've written our own kind of curriculum.
Okay.
And it's Kodai inspired.
Gotcha.
With her and hand symbols. So tell me more.
Well, here's the great thing, okay, because they are a sponsor of the show, and I have to tell you before we go, they allow you to create, using this crazy computer algorithm, sight reading examples. It's not a curriculum. It's only sight reading examples. So you can say, I want a unison melody in the key of F sharp in 3/4 time with a difficulty level of 5 out of 6. And then you click the button generate. And then what it will do is go blah, 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 and just come up with a beautiful, great voice leading and everything. Example. And then you can project that in front of your choir. Or there are individual student accounts where the kids can go home and generate their own examples and practice on their iPad or their phone or their computer, and even record it for you, and it'll stick it in a Dropbox of the teacher they choose.
So we could see how they're doing.
You can see how they're doing. It's the coolest thing ever. And so for anybody who uses the promo code NINJA at sightreadingfactory.com, they get 10 free student accounts to try out. And Anne, can LA Children's Chorus afford $35 a year?
I think we could fit that in.
That's all Sight Reading Factory costs for the instructor. Your whole organization can have Sight Reading Factory for $35. And it's the best. I think they need to 100x that figure, because it's that valuable. So there's that, and there's also mymusicfolders.com. And mymusicfolders.com is amazing. They are, that's John and Robin Rose. They're from Montana, another state that I'd never been in next to Wisconsin, you know. They are the innovators in the choral music folder world. They invented the comfort grip. They invented the folder that has the rounded back and the little strap and the whole thing. Everybody else just copies them. I'm not sure if they invented the strap, but I know the rounded back comfort grip system. That's them. So mymusicfolders.com, promo code Ninja, and you get their top level discount. So there you go, Anne. Those are our sponsors, and they're people that we believe in. So any words of wisdom before we go?
No, just when you work with children, it's just they're remarkable, and just encourage them, support them, and it's amazing things can happen. So,
well, great.
I want to just give a shout out to everyone doing choral music with young people. I think you're amazing, and wish you all well.
Well, thank you, Anne. And you know what? I hope that we cross paths at something in the future. And I really appreciate you being my guest today on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Choir Ninja Show. Bung, bung.